This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
Hi, it's Claire Kimball here, founder of The Squiz. One of the things that you've told us time and time again is that you appreciate how we do the news, but also appreciate the fun and the quirky bits and pieces too. So I wanted to let you know that we have a weekly newsletter called The Saturday Squiz. It's the week in news, but it also has recommendations of great recipes, books, TV shows, podcasts, and so much more. So grab your phone, go on, and head to thesquiz.com.au to sign up. We're the shortcut to the news and so much more. That link is also in your episode notes.
Good morning, I'm Siobhan Moran McFarlane.
And I'm Claire Kimball.
It's Monday the 25th of March. In your Squiz today, Russia's ready for retribution, Kate's cancer comms, Tassie's election results are in, and making a love triangle pay. This is your Squiz today. Russia's suffered its deadliest attack in 20 years. That happened at a rock concert in Moscow on Friday night, and it left at least 133 people dead and over 140 others wounded. But that death toll is expected to rise, Claire.
Yeah, and Siobhan, if you saw any pictures of that Crocus City Hall music venue, you might have wondered how anyone survived. Witness accounts are starting to come through from there. They say that four gunmen entered the venue and fired indiscriminately before setting it alight, and that caused large sections of that building to collapse. Yesterday, President Vladimir Putin said 11 people have been detained for that attack. That includes four alleged gunmen, and Islamic State's ISIS-K branch has claimed responsibility.
Yeah, so the experts say that it's based in Afghanistan and has a history of attacking targets in Russia because they say, and this is their words, that it is complicit in activities that regularly oppress Muslims. Now, Claire, there's been a lot of coverage of the warning that US intelligence gave Russia earlier this month that extremists had what they said were imminent plans to target large gatherings in Moscow.
Yeah, those reports say that that happened on the 7th of March, but last week Putin dismissed those reports as provocative statements from the West. He said that they were designed to intimidate and destabilise our society. The other element to all of this that's getting a lot of headlines is that Putin said that terrorists planned to escape to Ukraine and that Ukraine's government might have been involved in the attack. But Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky and American officials have rejected that.
It's still worth noting that claim, though, because senior Russian politicians say that Putin must deliver a worthy, clear, and concrete response on the battlefield in Ukraine. But within Russia, reports say that many locals blame lax security for the attack, and some analysts say that that could give Putin another reason to monitor locals and further restrict their freedoms. Claire, Princess Kate's absence from public life and the surrounding speculation is something that we've discussed a lot. And now we know why she's been MIA after she released a video on Saturday morning our time, confirming she has cancer and is undergoing preventative chemotherapy.
Yeah, wasn't that revelation quite a surprise on Saturday morning? Mm. Kate didn't specify what type of cancer she has, and Kensington Palace says that it won't, and this is the quote, be sharing any further private medical information. But yesterday there was a statement. Kate and her husband, Prince William, say that they've been enormously touched by the outpouring of support.
Kate's brother, James Middleton, says the family will climb this mountain together, and Harry and Meghan have wished her health and healing. The announcement about Kate's health has also prompted some soul-searching among celebrities who've previously joked about her absence, and that includes Blake Lively, who says she's mortified by her social media posts about Kate's whereabouts. Claire, were you glued to Tasmania's election result on Saturday night?
Weirdly enough, I wasn't because it takes so long in Tasmania.
Mm. Well, the results are trickling in and enough to know that Jeremy Rockliffe and the Liberal Party will come out on top.
Yeah, it's far from clear yet exactly what is going to happen there, but neither of the major parties have been able to form a government in their own right. They haven't been able to get a majority there, but the Liberals are set to take about 14 of the 35 lower house seats. So that's led Premier Jeremy Rockliffe to claim a historic fourth term for the Liberals. Labor's expected to get about 10 seats, and that saw Rebecca White throw in the towel yesterday. Even if they team up with the Greens are expected to get about 6 members. They would still be 2 seats short of a majority. So it's going to be a Liberal government there.
And as you say, it's going to take a couple of weeks to sort out what Tasmania's new government looks like. And there will be some negotiation to do before the Liberals can get started on a new term.
This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more.
Claire, squizzers now know about my enthusiasm for the Formula One. Last week, we got into the drama engulfing the Red Bull Formula One team. But all of that, frankly, pales into significance when we consider the on-track drama that went down in Melbourne yesterday at the Australian Grand Prix, which was rather surprisingly won by Ferrari's Spanish driver, Carlos Sainz.
Yeah, Siobhan, how great is Drive to Survive where we can have a really informed conversation about the F1? I too am a fan. So Carlos Sainz, he came out on top after overcoming some tyre trouble and that shaved down his lead. His Monaco-born teammate Charles Leclerc took second place. Then we've got British McLaren driver Lando Norris. He came in third. Oscar Piastri, the local boy, he came in fourth for McLaren. So a really great result for him. As for Red Bull's Max Verstappen, he was in pole position coming into the race, but he had a technical issue and that saw his car burst into flames. And I'm no expert, but I gather that's a bit of a problem.
Yes, I think it was quite the shock, and he wasn't the only one having a very bad weekend. Former world champion Lewis Hamilton hit a 14-year low in his career and also had to pull out of yesterday's race with engine failure. The 39-year-old Mercedes driver had already been complaining about his vehicle, saying the inconsistency in the car really messes with the mind. Claire, a bit of a boast, I wasn't alive when this happened. But I am aware that in the 70s, Eric Clapton went hard in his pursuit for Patty Boyd, who was at the time already married to Beatle George Harrison. And now the scandal involving two of Britain's most famous music talents is back in the limelight as some of her memorabilia, including photos, love letters and artwork, fetched about $5.8 million at an auction on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm a huge Beatles fan, so long-term squizzers might know that I would be very interested in this one. And yeah, $5.8 million, not bad for some old love letters and a bit of artwork.
Yeah.
Boyd described Clapton's writings as the most divine and beautiful letters, but she said she was ready to part with them because, and this is her quote, "I don't want to keep reading them, it hurts." That might have something to do with the fact that Boyd did actually marry Eric Clapton and they did get divorced in 1989. So even though Clapton wrote beautiful letters, they're rather needy. And I have to say his handwriting is rather beautiful. So swings and roundabouts on that one.
I love that the handwriting is what you've latched onto in this and not the content. But yeah, it seems to me that it's just as messy as any modern day love triangle, I reckon. Squiz the day, Claire. What are you drawing Squiz's attention to today?
Look, something to keep an eye on. It might get a bit of a mention in the news today. Donald Trump's criminal court case over those hush money payments is set to begin in New York. I reckon you and Alice might pick that up tomorrow because it's going to start as we're sleeping.
Yeah, good one. And that's it for us today. Have a great start to the week and we'll be back with you tomorrow.
Hi there, it's Bryce Corbett here from Squiz Kids. It's been a big couple of weeks for news, and one thing that's emerged is the increasingly concerning role that mis- and disinformation are playing in the wake of big news events. It's why there's never been a more important time for our kids to be taught to be critical consumers of media. It's also why we created NewsHounds, a fun 8-part podcast series with accompanying classroom workbook to teach primary school kids how to spot misinformation when they come across it online. It's already being used in over 2,000 classrooms around the country. To make sure the kids in your life are among them, get their teacher to head to squizkids.com.au and sign up for a free account. You're very welcome.